If we will be multiplying disciple makers, we'll be people who are pursuing maturity in Christ. Now, we covered a lot of this ground this morning because essentially the whole process is planning to mature people. But I include it here because it's our hope that together this will be our pursuit. Paul, there in chapter 1, verse 28, says, "We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom." Why? "So that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labour, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." So our plan is, use the word of God in making disciples, who in turn become disciple-making disciples, with this longing, that we might present everyone perfect in Christ. Now that's not easy. We're a bunch of, and we'll be gathering together with us, a bunch of selfish, self-centered, self-indulgent, self-righteous sinners. That's who we, where we start anyway. Hopefully those labels don't sit too comfortably with us and we're maturing, we're putting them off, aren't we? I'm not saying that's what we, that's who we are though before God, aren't we? That's where we come from. And so as we gather with all those struggles in us, it's going to take effort. But fundamentally what we do is we proclaim Christ. We teach one another, we admonish one another. It's a process of setting our minds to understand the teaching and instruction of the Bible, as well as correcting and putting things right, whether it be our understanding or the way that we live. So pursuing maturity will involve tough love, tough things personally as we sit under the Word of God, tough love as we care and encourage and seek to build one another up, where we take the truths of Christ and bring them into the grasp of people's lives, of one another's lives. Not just so that they're in our head, but they're in our heart. Not just playing out in our minds, but being lived out in our lives. Roy Orbison wrote, "Hey now, you better listen to me, every one of you. We got a lot of work to do. Forget about your women and that water can. Today we're working for the man." Friends, we're working for Christ and we've got a lot of work to do because we're sinners going to glory. We are not perfect in Christ. We're on the road and we'll continue on that road, but we've got a lot of work to do. Each of us is an individual at different stages in our maturity in Christ. We're going through different struggles in life. We're going through different struggles with sin in our lives. Yet maturing in Christ is what we're seeking, in ourselves, in others. And we're seeking to do that together as a body, and we labour to that end. Together to present individuals perfect in Christ. It is a labour and it's an exertion of great effort. And if we're joining together to present everyone perfect in Christ, there's no cruising, there's no coasting, there's no armchair rides, because together we're striving until the last day when Christ returns, when that goal will be fully realized, because only then will we be completely sanctified, completely like Christ. But we do it and we go doing it together, laboring and struggling, verse 29, "with all his energy, which so powerfully works in us." God is powerfully at work where we're toiling. Paul says in Philippians 4 of his work, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." We don't go running off in our own power. We're doing it in God's strength. He is the one who strengthens us and equips us. And the tools we use, they don't change. Whether it's ministering to a non-Christian, whether it's ministering to Christians, it is the word of God. Chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." We don't get away from that. We don't get away from the simple gospel message where we started. Continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness to God. There in Christ is where we stand. There in Christ is where we stay. The gospel of Christ revealed in the word of God, we pursue maturity. We pursue maturity in Christ, but we also work serving one another in love. That's the pattern. And it's a pattern of Christ, who gives us a pattern of self-sacrificial service. At the top there is the passage from Mark 10. Jesus called them together and said, "You know those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them? But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." As the body of Christ together, we are the church, the local, living, loving collection of God's people who are committed to Christ and committed to one another. When Jesus was speaking these words, James and John had been having a bit of a barney on the road. They'd been jostling for the best seats in the kingdom. They were thinking ahead. They wanted the crown. They wanted the glory seats that were to come. They'd skip right past the journey to glory. I don't know if you've ever seen either of these, The Apprentice, Donald Trump and Mark Burris. In it, the contestants compete to be selected as the apprentice to these business giants. As Jesus' disciples, we're undergoing our apprenticeship. We are on a journey to glory. But our greatness will be measured by our service. Our greatness will be seen on how far down the ladder we are prepared to climb for the sake of others. See, true discipleship has at its heart letting go of our desire for honour in this world in order to give honour to others. See, this is where the disciple-making mindset comes. I want to see them grow. I want to train them and see them raise up and be all they can be in God. If that means I've got to step back to give them space to go, let's do it. Those of you who have met Matt doing the youth program, when I first came out of college, he was year 9 at Liverpool Boys. He used to stop at my office every afternoon with one of his mates coming home from school. We'd talk about the Bible, we'd read the Bible. He's here teaching our kids. It is so cool for me to see that and see the fruit of that coming through. When he was in year 7, he was in so much trouble at school. Another one of the guy that was the assistant before me was about to start a lunchtime group at the school. And Tim was coming in for the first day and just checking with the deputy who was chewing out this kid, going, "Am I right to go through?" And she's going, you can go with him. And the deputy sent him off to go with Tim, went to the Christian group, he's converted, he's about to marry a gorgeous Christian girl, and just seeing him grow has been wonderful. That's what we want to see. We want to be training people up. And hopefully he'll go on to be in a Bible teaching ministry in the future. But that's not the end point for everyone. But it's seeing people grow and take another step forward, giving people room to develop and grow. There's going to be times we're going to let people have a go and they're going to make a hash of it. That's okay. We're going to love them and care for them. That's part of training. We've all taken steps and messed things up, but it's helped us grow and strengthen and mature and go forward. And that's what we want to be doing. Let go of our desire for honour in this world in order to give honour to others. If you watch that show in The Apprentice, they're clambering over one another, using one another to get the prize at the end. Our apprenticeship is a modelling process. Modelling the Lord Jesus, who came to serve others, not be served by them. He came to give his life for others. And it's Christ's service and it's his love that compels us and drives us on. 2 Corinthians 5, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. The love of Christ ought to be the thing that is compelling us, that's controlling our actions. That love of Christ that took him to the cross in our place, and our love for him that his death stirs in us. Have you made your mind up? Are you convinced that Christ died on behalf of all? That Christ died on behalf of you? That Christ died for us that we might die to ourselves? I mean, we've died in this sense that we've been freed for a new life. A new life with new aims and new purposes. So that we can engage in that apprenticeship under Christ. In that new life of disciple making, discipleship. Now, that's our new pattern of living in him. Not to ourselves, not for ourselves, but for Christ and his glory. In the New Testament, the word servant is commonly used. It speaks of a person who is not at their own disposal. The servant is someone who is their master's purchased property, bought to serve the master's needs, to be at their master's beck and call every moment. The servant or slave, it's the same word, their sole business is to do as they're told, to serve their master. Now, Christian service means, first and foremost, living out a slave relationship to our Saviour. And the task that Christ sets us is to become the slaves of our fellow servants, being willing to do literally anything, however costly, however irritating, however undignified it may be, in order to help them mature and grow and become like Christ. That's what loving one another is all about. Just as Christ showed us at the Last Supper when he got down and washed the disciples' feet. The essence of our Christian service is loyalty to our King, expressing itself in care for his servants, devoting time and trouble and substance to giving one another all the practical help possible in serving Christ and growing into him. Remember of point one? Only the Holy Spirit can create us in us the kind of love toward our Saviour that will overflow in that imaginative sympathy and practical helpfulness to one another. Can I say there's a lot of it going on? There's a lot of it going on. A lot of great stuff I see. Here's a list of some practical ways that are happening that you might want to think about, of ways that you could lovingly serve one another. The list is many, but here's a few things. If you notice that someone hasn't been around for a couple of weeks, give them a call. Inquire some way if they're okay and how they're doing. You could provide a meal for a family or a person who's having a rough time. You could find ways for people to contribute, inviting them in to help you with the ministry. You know, training and bringing them in that way. You could offer, if you're in the position, to babysit for a stressed or busy couple so that they can also enjoy some time out. Hands up if you'd like the babysitters. Remember what people have told you and pray for them. And don't forget to pray for them if you've told them you will. And start by praying for them there and then, on the spot. Be prepared for the long haul as well. Many people live with difficulties that go on for years and years. Don't be disappointed if they don't get better, if they don't snap out of it, if they don't put on the brave face. Understand that the people mostly do their best. Be content to sit alongside them, to get alongside them, to love and care for them through the long haul. And know that, you know, we're sinners. We stumble and fall. There's going to be times where we relapse. You've seen someone go and go and you're thinking, and then they're going to disappoint. We do the same thing. Often it's covered up a whole lot better so people don't notice, but we do the same thing. You know those sins in your life and you think you've got it licked and you stumble and fall again and again and again It's been 10 years and it's still the same thing. So don't be disappointed when that happens with people. Love them. Continue to get alongside them. Continue to work with them. Friends, living as faithful followers of Christ means continuing to do what so many of us are doing, being committed to one another through those responsibilities as part of the body. And you know what? You find that over time you'll learn more and more of what Christian love is all about as you give and as you receive. There's great encouragement as we see God working in other people's lives. There's great encouragement as we see older members being cared for. There's great encouragement when we see newer Christians growing and maturing. Now, even if things in our lives are not going so well, we can be encouraged by the work of God in other people's lives. That's how it's supposed to be. That's just another reason why God doesn't call us to run this race alone. He calls us to be part of this. Part of his people. As we serve one another in love, it will encourage accountability. It will help us to grow together and alongside one another, hoping to see those disciple-making disciples grow, pursuing maturity, serving one another in love. And the final point, there's no particular order necessarily to these, active in outreach to our communities and beyond. Our communities are those where we're immediately in contact with all the time and beyond. Because again, we've got in mind, we want to see disciples made of all nations to the ends of the earth. And so we impact all the way around the world. But from our base in Christ and his love, we reach out. We're to be active in outreach to those around us and conscious of what's going on around the world. We're to be active because we are the workers. Jesus speaking there in Matthew 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus, the compassionate good shepherd, he sees the field of people before him. He sees them as bullied and oppressed and confused by the ways of sin in the world and sin in their own lives. And he says to his disciples and to us as those disciple makers, see the fields that are before us. See that the only way out for people out of their troubles, out of this bewildered world, is through turning to Christ, the Lord of the harvest. That the only way out is through him who breaks the power and stranglehold of sin and sets people free. Friends, we are the workers. Christ sends us out into the harvest field, out to people whose lives have no centre, people whose existence seems aimless, people whose existence is one of futility. Keep lifting our eyes. Keep seeing the field before us. We're all in this. It's the commission of all disciples. If we're disciple makers, we are part of the church's outreach team. It starts with how we relate to one another. Our outreach starts with our relationships. In John 13, Jesus says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." I think I was breaking into a chorus from Scripture and Song in the 1980s. Ooh, try not to go back there. The verse is good, though. Friends, if we're not expressing Christian love to one another, we're in disobedience to God. We're actually hindering our evangelistic work as a church. We're actually hindering our outreach. It's our collective job. Some people are wonderfully gifted. Some of them end up in full-time paid Christian ministry. Some of those great evangelists go and work over in Northwest Australia. And what a blessing they are. But we are all disciples. We are all to be active in outreach. Now, for those of you who've had the blessing of Richard's great ministry and his great evangelistic zeal, I don't think there's many of us like that in this room. Most of us can't do the things that he does. I think very few of us can do the things he does. But we have a community around us who see how we love one another. We have a community around us who see how we love our family. We have a community around us who see how we love them. The eyes of the community are watching us. With the fear of breaking out into more songs, they're watching your every move. I'm setting you up for karaoke everywhere here, Robin. People are watching us, right? Our lives are a platform, but our lives in themselves are not outreach. Outreach is about sharing the gospel of Christ. That's why generally we use the word evangelism, which is about proclaiming the good news of Jesus. But there's no E in Tom's, where Tom's not Tem, so it's outreach, not evangelism. That's my guess anyway. But when we consider outreach, we need to know that it's reaching out with the gospel of Christ. That's what our outreach is about. Bringing the gospel of Christ, proclaiming Christ into the harvest field of these people, of people who don't know Christ as yet. Right, is it converting people? No. No. It's not converting people. That's God's work. And we should be thankful that God does that. It's not dependent on us. It's greatly liberating. We're to be faithful messengers. We deliver the message, the gospel message, as well as we can. But it's God that changes lives. Right, and that's fundamental to our belief, isn't it? Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace, the good gift of God, that you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that none of us can boast. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're to be faithful. The Romans passage that we looked at in Bible study, 10:14, who's going to believe if they haven't heard? How are they going to hear if someone doesn't go and tell them? We're the ones who go and tell so that people can hear and come to believe, but it will be God working to bring them to that point in faith. If we are faithful in telling the gospel, people may or may not respond. That's okay, because that is God's work. He is the one calling people through his word, but he uses you and I, he uses me in the process. He knows some of us are more articulate than others. He knows some of us are just infants as Christians, still learning to read and write, so to speak. God is a big God. We have trusted him with our life. We can trust him with the outcome of conversations. Whether we make a hash of it or we nail it, God can use our mistakes for his glory. I'm fairly sure, from what all I understand, that the guy who was preaching the gospel the week I went to Teen Ranch and was converted is not a Christian himself. But God used that man that week. Friends, we don't fail in evangelism if we try to faithfully present the gospel. We fail if we don't try to faithfully present the gospel at all. Outreach isn't about us converting people. Outreach is about telling them the wonderful truth about God, the great news about Jesus Christ. That is our joy and privilege. Out of love for God and what he has done for us, we get into outreach. In the final wash-up, outreach is driven by a love for God. Now, some of us will engage in that by going, there's a great event happening. You ought to come and hear about this Jesus guy. Do you know what? You're actually sharing part of the gospel at that point. Jesus is great. He's changed my life. You need to hear about it. You might not be able to fill out and give a 20-minute sermon on it, but you've told someone, Jesus matters. He matters to me. He needs to matter for you. Come and hear something about it. If you're doing that, well done. And what do we back it up with? We pray for the people. If you can push those conversations and delve further and go further, go for it. But our motivation in the end, it will come out of love for God. If it's out of other things, if it's out of self-love, it'll give way to self-centeredness. If it's love for the lost, it'll fail with those that we can't love, those with insurmountable difficulties. It's a deep love of God that will drive us on to keep declaring the gospel when our human resources fail. It's our love for God and His love for us. It will keep us from the dangers which crush our outreach. When the desire for popularity or success tempts us to water down the gospel to make it taste nice, it's our love for God that will help us stand firm and true at those times. Friends, keep lifting our eyes. I think we've got our eyes. I think we know the field. We put in massive efforts to make things happen so people can come and hear about Jesus, with Good News Week, with carols. But we've got to keep looking out at the fields, not just to events, but to people. Us as people engaging with people. Look out from ourselves, look out from our needs, look out on the world that God has made. Look on those in need of God's love. Look out and love people made in His image who are at war with Him. Those who are alienated from Him and in need of salvation from sin and guilt. The human situation is a radically bad predicament. As we pursue maturity, we grasp it more and more. Now, the discouragement can be painfully sharp sometimes. As we do our best to share the good news and it's rejected and pushed aside. But that's where we need to keep remembering our role. We give out the message. God brings the increase. God has people in Cranbrook, in the communities, in the networks that you move in, who He will call. It was because someone else was faithful with that commission that you're a Christian today. Let us pray that because of our own faithfulness now, that when we get to TBW next year, there will be others among us who've come to be reconciled to God in Christ. If God in His ways decides that's not to be the case, may it not be because we failed in our commission. Not that God will fail if there's not more people here. He may choose not to grow us in that way. May we make Him known. May we make the grace of Christ known to every creature made in His image. So we want to keep recognizing the importance of this good news of Jesus. Until we need to keep doing that personally, because until we do, that's the thing that's going to drive our outreach. That's what's going to motivate us to tell that lovely person next door that they're actually in need of Christ. That their lives are actually sinful and they need to turn around. As we keep grasping that for ourselves, outreach won't be as much of an unpleasant duty or an occasional impulse. It'll be more and more the fabric of who we are. As the message of the cross captures our hearts more and more, it captures our imaginations, then our tongues won't be as far behind. They might be stammering, they might be stuttering and even insulting and awkward at times. They might still be sarcastic and cynical and imperfect. But out of the overflow of our heart, our mouths will speak. Friends, we are the workers. We know the field are before us. Keep looking at those fields. Know that as we love one another, we have already started in reaching out to them. Know that our responsibility is to faithfully share the gospel and that God is responsible for the harvest. And in the end, keep coming back to Christ, for it's His love that drives us on. Keep plumbing the depths of His love for us and be assured, enjoy the freedom to work in the harvest fields as we pursue maturity in ourselves and others and as we serve one another in love and get active in reaching out to our communities and those around us. Let me pray. Gracious God, we've covered a lot of ground and there's much to think about our lives and how that works out in the world. Father, help us to soberly reflect on where we are, Father, help us to continue to rejoice and give thanks for the great work that you're doing amongst us, for the many changed lives, for the service that we give to one another, for the desire to see our community reached with the gospel. Father, help us to grow in these desires more and more, that people will look at us and know that we are reaching out with the gospel of Christ. Help them to look upon us and see that we serve one another in love. Help them to look upon us and see that we're seeking to mature and be more like Christ. And Father, help us to bind together, to support and strengthen and encourage one another in that process. Father, we know we can't do it of ourselves, so we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, change us and shape us, that we may be increasingly like Christ as we pursue perfection in him. Amen.